Numbers 25. And you'll want to hold that place and then turn over to Psalm 106. Verse number 24. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor, and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague brake in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment. And so the plague was stayed. And that was counted unto him for righteousness, unto all generations forevermore. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. That's as far as I want to read for sake of reading. You can read in Psalm 105 and Psalm 106. Psalm 105 talks about the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt, all that God had done for them, and how that God, with a strong hand, brought them out, saved them from their enemies, saved them from what they had been crying about. I mean, they had been in bondage. They were made slaves. They were punished. And so God sent Moses unto them. God sent a deliverer and brought them out. But then you find in Psalm 106 how that then they had begun, after that they were brought out, they had begun to rebel against the Lord in the wilderness, and how that it cost many of them the promised land. It even cost Moses the promised land. And I'll get into that here in just a little bit. But the Bible said they mingled among the heathen and learned their works in verse number 35. And I want to look here in Psalm 106 and also back in Numbers 25. And I want us to look at that thought. Be careful with whom you mingle. And so we know that Israel had a problem mingling with the other nations. And God didn't want them mingling with the other nations. God had called them and saved them to be a peculiar people. That's what he said. Now the Lord, when he saved us, he said that he wanted us to be a peculiar people, zealous unto good works. God has saved us to be different from what we were. different from what the world is. That's what we were. We were just like the world. We were of the world. We were of darkness. Amen. All of us that are saved, we were at one time a part of that. And now Christ has saved us out of that. And he does not want us going back to that. But here in this story, we're going to find the Israelites, one portion where they had they had abode in Shittim, the Bible said, in Numbers 25. And the people begin to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. It was those Moabites that were the worshipers of Baal. And they not only worshipped Baal, there were different parts of the Baal worship. Some was more religious, but others were more perverted. And they were more, let me say, adulterated. And that's where these Moabites came in. They took the most beautiful women that they had, and they would entice other peoples to come and to be a part of their religion. And they did that with whoredom. And they did that in a place called Peor. And Baal worship there in Moab became known as not just Baal worship, but Baal Peor. And also known as Beth Peor. And the Israelite joined the worship of Baal Peor. Can you imagine that? Having worshiped God, having finally seen God's hand come and deliver them out of the land of Egypt, and then to take part in worship of Baal Peor, this adulterated Baal worship. And verse 2, the Bible said they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. You see, that's exactly what I said. They used their women to entice the leaders and the men of the tribes of Israel, not just Israel, any other people. They wanted them to become Baal worshipers. And so they used them and called the people to the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. These are people that are under the hand of God. They have seen God as a shadow by the day to keep the heat off of them. They've seen God as a fire by night to light the way and to keep the cold of night from freezing them. They saw their God completely wipe out the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. God Almighty has revealed himself in a mighty way. And now they're bowing down to worship their gods. Bowing down to worship the gods of Baal. The adulterated, fornicating gods of Baal. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. Can you imagine that? Joined himself. They not only committed the sin of adultery, but fornication and idolatry. I want you to look at the things they did. And we look and we see that and we think that was bad enough. But do you know they broke 6 of the 10 commandments of God? Right here in joining them, no other gods. The Bible said, thou shalt have no other gods. And here they are taking up the gods of Baal. The Bible said in the commands not to bow down to them. And here they are bowing down to these gods. And it said to not to serve them, and they're going to serve them. Not to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and they've done that. It says, honor thy father and thy mother. You think they're honoring their fathers and their mothers in this ritualistic adultery of Baal Peor worship? No. And not commit adultery was the one very familiar. And then, thou shalt not covet. They coveted what those people had. They coveted their way of worship. They coveted their ways of living. The Bible talks about their evil inventions, Israel's invention. And what that means is they didn't come up with devices like electronic devices or televisions. That wasn't the kind of inventions they're talking about. They're talking about the inventions of their mind. Right. They're talking about the wickedness that man can stretch in his mind and bring about in the flesh. Are you listening to me? And he said, thou shalt not covet. And they're coveting them. And they broke those and other commands. So the death penalty was carried out. You'll find that God had told them. The Lord said to Moses in chapter 25 of Numbers in verse 4, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord. You see, the leadership had to give account unto God. It was the leaders, the men, the heads of the families that led their families, led the other men and women into Baal Peor worship. And listen, a man needs to know about leadership, about real godly leadership, and what you lead your family into. Any of us as believers, listen to how we lead others, how we lead our families is important. How that we stay with God, that we humble ourselves under the hand of God. And not mingle with the world. See, if you begin to mingle, it's untelling how far we'll go. The flesh doesn't just like to touch. It wants to taste. Amen. It wants to eat. It wants to partake. And you can't just... it was a Lot that vexed his righteous soul in seeing and hearing. Just in seeing and just in hearing. And these people, they're going to be vexed. In chapter 25, verse 18, he said, for they vex you with their wiles. That's their deceivings. Their deceivings. Oh no, no, this is not to take place of your God. You can still serve your Lord. This is not going to be harmful to you and to your religion in any way. If they had listened to God in any way at all, if they had known how straight the commands of the Lord were, they could have just easily went back and known, this ain't right. This is not right to partake in what they have. It's not right to go after these Moabitish women. It's not right to worship Baal, their God. It's not right to come to the place. They thought it as a sin city. They thought this is a place to drop off and have a little wild fun. There's no place for wild fun in the Christian life. Are you listening to me? The flesh, what the flesh is desiring. But here they are, what they have done. Listen, they have encouraged the others to sin. Right.
You see, by what you do, you will either encourage others to live righteously or you will encourage others to sin. If somebody that's supposed to be in the lead, supposed to be strong, if they do it, then the ones beneath them says, well, they did it. Well, look at them. They're a part of it. They don't think it's so bad. It must not be too bad because they don't think very much of it. You see, what they've done is they have encouraged so many. All the leaders would have had to have done was to turn around and said, no, this is not what the Lord would have out of us. And lead their people in righteousness. I think that's what God wants of us, to lead our people into holiness and righteousness, to lead our families, to lead our children, to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. God had told them, take the heads of the people and hang them up against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. I'm going to tell you how cold-hearted these people were. In verse 5, and Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one of these men that were joined unto Baal Peor. This is what has to happen. They had done so evil that according to the command of God, they had to be killed. They could not live with that type of sin and ungodliness in the camp. And so Moses said, slay them. Everybody that was joined to Baal Peor. And behold, look, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman, in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. There were people that knew how wrong it was. And they were there at the tabernacle, weeping before God. How could our men have done this? How could our leaders have done such a thing? The pain that is there, especially when leadership does something like that. And so there they are weeping. But you know what this guy's doing? He found a Midianitish woman. A beautiful woman. A beautiful whorish woman. And he's brought her back to his brothers. I mean, one woman for all of them. Are you listening? And he did it right in front of Moses. He walked right in front of Moses with her. Right in front of the people that was weeping at the door of the congregation. As if nothing bothered him. Do you see how callous and how cold and calculated that sin will make people, that they could do something so openly? I'm telling you, that's wicked. When you can do these things so openly. And I want to tell you something. America has gotten to that place. Places have gotten to that place. They do not care. Used to, it was a shame if people were shacked up. Now, they don't care. They don't care what you think or anybody else. Used to, it was a shame. Listen, if I can remember as kids, we didn't want our parents or other people's parents thinking bad of us. And if they found out we did something bad, it was a shame. It was a shame. Now they don't care. They don't care. That don't care attitude has completely flooded the land. And that was the attitude of this young man, this Israelite man that brought this Midianitish woman right in the front of Moses to do this right in front of the man of God, Moses, is beyond me. Used to, I can remember a time, I'm just telling you how times have changed. Listen, you're going to do what you want to do, and you're going to stand before God for whatever you do.
That's right.
And I love you. I do. I love everybody in here. And I'm going to have to stand before God for what I do. We're all going to stand before the Lord for how we have taken in God's Word. And what we have done with it. What we've done with the convictions the Lord has handed us. The morality that God has placed upon us. The holiness and the righteousness that God has so given us abundantly. Things that God has revealed to us. That we could be closer to Him. That's why God reveals it to us. That we could be closer to Him. It's not to put you in bondage. It's to draw you closer. It's that God could get you closer and closer and closer to Him who is all holy. I can remember a time when people, there were things you didn't do in front of a preacher. Listen, if you was going to the lake, you didn't stop by the preacher's house on your way, I promise you that. You didn't want him to see you in shorts. No, why? You had respect. You had a certain respect about what they stood for, what they said the Bible said, what they, the things that they said that God had said. I mean, listen, even when I was lost, I knew my granddaddy was telling me the truth. I didn't like it. Didn't understand it. But I believed it. I believed with all my heart that man knows more about the truth than I do. That man has spent more time with God and more time in prayer and more time in that book. And if he says so, there's got to be something to it. Now, it didn't change me. I was lost. But I at least, even as a lost person, listen, if I'd been partying, no way was I going to get anywhere near that man. Nor any other religious people. I didn't want to be around a church. Now people will party in the back of a church. People don't care. People don't care to desecrate the things of God at all. God have mercy. What a cold-hearted sin lover he must have been to do this in front of Moses and those that wept. They were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. I think that would help us today if we could cry over sin again. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, let me stop right there. He backs up over there in Psalms. He's telling this story, and then he backs up to chapter 20 about the waters of strife, how they had rebelled over the waters of strife. It was the waters of Meribah. It was the second time that Moses and the children of Israel had come to the place where they were griping about no water. And they come to the rock that God had originally told Moses, smite the rock. Moses smote the rock. That was the first time. That's a picture of the smitten Christ. And water came out. Now they're back at that rock, and God tells Moses, speak to the rock. But Moses is so upset with the children of Israel, he smites it twice. Water came out. But you know what happened? It cost Moses ever being able to take the children of Israel into the promised land. And Aaron the high priest, it cost him his life. Moses had to take Aaron right in front of everybody. And Eleazar, which is Aaron's son, he took the priestly robes off of Aaron and put them on Eleazar. And Aaron died. That's what sin and rebellion cost Moses and Aaron there at the waters of strife. This man, Eleazar, the priest, now the priest, sees this young man do this. You know what he does? He went after the man of Israel into the tent. In verse number 7, at the end of verse number 7, it says he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. The high priest, Aaron's son, when he saw the wickedness of that young man, the boldness, how he could just strut that woman right in front of Moses and the people that were crying at the tabernacle, took a javelin, knew what he needed to do, went and slayed him and that adulterous woman both. That was what had caused Israel to be in the shape they were in. That very thing, that Baal Peor worship. And they were all, maybe that young man thought, everybody's doing it. Wow. Maybe that's why he came through there so boldly. Everybody's brought one. Just because everybody else does not mean you should. Right. Never. By the matter of fact, if you see the world doing something, you probably shouldn't do it. I don't know that I've ever seen much of anything that the world ever got right. Are you listening to me? I'll say it again. I don't know that I've ever seen anything that the world has ever done ever get right about it. Are you listening? They're wrong. And it's all, listen, a plague to godliness. It's a plague against Christ. It's a plague against righteousness and godliness and salvation. Why would they mingle with these people? Why would Lot mingle with sodomites? Why are they mingling? Well, again, when you have the leadership doing it and making light of it, if there's ever a day that we need our elders to be strong. I mean strong. Strong against sin. Strong against the world. It's today. I'm not talking about against sinners. I'm not talking about against the souls of people. They're lost. They need to be saved. Somebody, listen, we're supposed to love them, but not at all love what they're doing and partaking of what they're doing and mingling among them while they're doing what they're doing. That enticement It will entice. It enticed the very children of Israel. It says Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. I mean, that's, you might as well say everybody. Israel, every tribe, one tribe after another. God have mercy. He joined himself unto Baal Peor. There was an unequal yoke. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 6:16, you know what? No, you're not. That which is joined to an harlot is one body. Men joined to wives. Men that's joined to a body of people. Men joined unto the Lord. Now they're joining to a harlot. That was Psalm 106:29. These are their inventions, their ways of worship that they created. Worshiping Baal as they committed these adulteries. That was their inventions. The boldness and openness of sin. The Bible said in verse number 13, toward the end, because he was zealous for his God, this is talking about the priest, and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of a chief house among the Simeonites. Wow. This was the head house. Simeon was the oldest. Was he not? They were looked up to as the big brother. And here this guy, what a testimony. A bad testimony. Zimri, the Israelite slain with the Midianitish woman. What a testimony he left. God have mercy. That's how he'll be remembered. The one that was so bold in sin. The one that the high priest had to take a javelin and stick him through and pierce him to the woman that he had brought. Bad testimony. Vexed, again, verse 18, they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor. They beguiled them in the matter of Peor. They're still talking about that Baal Peor worship, which was different than just Baal worship. Baal worship was bad enough. Baal Peor adulterated it. Turned it into one nasty flesh fest after another. In the matter of Cozbi, the daughter of the prince of Midian, that was the woman's name, or Cozbi, the daughter of a prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague for Peor's sake. In the day. That was the day talked about in 1 Corinthians 10:8. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 8, it talked about that day. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day, 20 and 3,000. That's what he said in Corinthians, 23,000. Here in Numbers, he says 24,000. And I'll tell you why. There was 23,000 on top of the 1,000 leaders that made it 24. Paul in Corinthians is just talking about the ones below the leaders, the people that followed the leaders, 23,000 of them. 1,000 leaders led 23,000 more. It's amazing how far leadership will go. You can either lead an abundance of people to mingle with the world, or you can lead them to Christ. We can lead them to God or lead them away. My mercy. My mercy. Verse number 9 of Numbers 25. Those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel. Well, that looked harsh. That he took that javelin and went after that guy. One of them, an Israelite. And stuck him through. And the woman too. But it turned the wrath of God away from the whole nation. Why? Because he knew the judgment of God. And he knew what sin would cost. If they didn't do something to those that brought it right into the camp. What we bring in, Lord have mercy. God help us not to bring things in of the world. We don't need to mingle with the world. We don't need to bring what is in the world in here or in our home. God help us to remember what the Lord has done for us. Again, over in Psalm, Psalm 105, it's all about his deliverance. He talks about how that Joseph, the son of Jacob, was there in Egypt, in the land of Ham. A strange land, a land of many gods. But look what Joseph did. The salvation of his house. He didn't bring Dad and the rest of his brothers down there and say, they got any god you want to serve down here. No. No, he didn't do that. Joseph was a picture of Christ himself. Saved his people. Saved his people. Gave them bread when they had none. A place when they had none. Moses, another man. I mean, you think about that. That God had men like Joseph, like Moses, that were reared up, had spent much time among, but did not let them vex them. Why? What was in their heart? Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Didn't want to be called the son of Pharaoh, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He wanted to know the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, the God he didn't know. These men. You look at the difference in the lives of the men that live for the Lord. And that word, that phrase, that doesn't even do it justice. They gave themselves unto God. Against them that gave themselves over to the gods of the heathen. I think I'll stick with the Lord.
Amen.
I think I'll just follow the Lord. Stay with God's people, not mingle with the world. What about you? Be done with the world. If you're saved, be done with the world. Don't fool with the world. The things of the world. Their inventions, their ways. It's easy to get enticed by it. Their music's different. Their ways are different. We don't have to. Listen, if you're born again, God's made a new creature out of you. And you shouldn't be desiring what the world has. Shouldn't. Absolutely not. And if there's a draw there, that means you're too close to them. And you need to come out. You need to come out from among them. Come out from among Baal Peor. Come out from among the Canaanites and the Hittites. Amen. I want you to stand.